and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Hello. Well, the shit show that has been 2020 has some good. It has one little redeeming feature.
He's not president yet.
Oh, mate, honestly, I can't tell you the joy on... what day was it? Was it Saturday when it was finally announced?
I think so. What confused me was everyone seemed to start celebrating. So when I checked the BBC website, it said the BBC and Sky are projecting that he's going to become the next president. But is it confirmed yet?
Well, I don't know if it is officially. I don't really understand it. But, I mean, they're all saying he's won. So apart from Trump, obviously, who's saying he's the winner. So I don't know. But basically, I think Trump's out. Which is wonderful, isn't it? I mean, I can't tell you how happy I am.
Well, just we've got a civil war to get through first, so wait for that.
The thing about Saturday when the news came in, it was like we'd been waiting for 4 days. And I was getting really frustrated because every time I looked at the BBC website, I could go to bed and it would say Biden 253, Trump 214. I thought, well, he's only got 17 to go. So surely by the morning, that will change. And I think that happened 2 nights running. I see this is never going to end.
Were you, like I was, starting to get a little bit pissed off, thinking, how long does it take to count? I mean, really, come on, Nevada, pull your finger out.
Well, I don't know what's going on. They got a lot of votes, though, isn't it? I mean, when you look at it, over 145 million people voted.
I've probably got this slightly wrong, but wasn't it something like Pennsylvania? There was like 5 million votes each, and the discrepancy was like 1,000. And if it falls within 1%, they can call for a recount. Oh, it might have been Georgia, actually.
Oh, that's the one where they're going to be recount, isn't it?
Yeah. So surely everything has to go on hold while they're doing recounts, or is it irrelevant?
I think it's irrelevant. He's gone. He's out. Let's celebrate.
I'm not going to celebrate until Joe Biden is in the Oval Office with the door locked behind him.
The one thing that was worrying me more than anything is, because do you remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about the moral dilemma that I had around Trump having COVID?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And I said I wanted nothing really bad to happen to him because I want to see him brought down by justice once he's out. Yeah. They're now saying that he can pardon himself.
What?
He can. I don't know how he can pardon himself before anything happens. But if he's got a presidential pardon, does that make him immune to any prosecutions or anything?
No, I was listening to a very well-known British political radio station, and they were saying that the blanket of immunity he's been enjoying as president does now run out, and he is back to being a supposedly law-abiding citizen. So anything he does now, or any shady dealings, he has to face the music for.
But if he pardons himself, does that make a difference?
No, surely you can't.
That's what they're saying, mate. That's what they're saying.
No, you couldn't. No. Because that means he could be immune from the law for the rest of his life. He could give himself some sort of, what's the word, like premature pardon and then go out and murder people and not face. But no, that can't be how it works.
Well, I don't know how it's going to work. They keep talking about it. And that worries me because he needs to be brought down. That's what
for anyone who thinks.
Now.
Yeah, but I agree. But for anyone who thinks, by the way, that was a slightly extreme example I just gave, this is the same president who did say he could go out onto the streets and shoot somebody dead and not lose a single vote. So it's not that extreme.
What really annoys me is that we've got to wait. I mean, in the UK, when there's an election, you have the election. Normally by the morning, there's a result. And by lunchtime, there's a new government.
Yes.
We've got to wait 70-odd days. And Trump could just completely go. He could start pushing nuclear buttons.
Oh, God.
He could just go completely mental now.
Oh, it's scary stuff, isn't it?
He was out playing golf. He got his priorities right. He was out playing golf while it was all being declared on Saturday.
I mean, why not?
He's not going to have much else to do, is he? I think it's a wonderful thing that a man who's really sort of made his media life by telling people they're fired has now been fired by people. And there's a lovely sort of ironic justice to that, isn't there?
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, that's really nice.
My favourite sign I saw as well was somebody, I think at the where he's staying and the golf course and all that, I don't quite know where that is, but there was a man with a sign just said, Trumpty Dumpty had a great fall. That's one of my favourite signs I've seen so far.
Speaking of which, whatever the hell happened to his wall?
Well, he has built some of it, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah, there is some wall that's been built, but I don't think he's built the wall that he claimed he was going to build. And there was a wonderful moment on, Newsnight or Question Time last week? I think it was Question Time when I was watching it. And they had a woman on who was a Republican. Not, to be fair, she wasn't the biggest Trump fan, but she was a Republican. And she was saying, well, the great thing is that, you know, Trump's fulfilled every promise that he made. And I think it was Fiona Bruce went, whoa, have the Mexicans paid for the wall? And she said, not that one. I don't know if I'm assuming Biden. I hope the first thing Biden does, you know, that politicians always need a photo op.
Yes.
So like Boris this week, he was, I hate it when they do this. Oh, no, it wasn't Boris, was it? It was the Chancellor was seen laying some paving at a housing development. Why does the Chancellor need to do that?
I've not seen this. So you're talking about Rishi Sunak, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this picture, but I am willing to bet he was pictured with a builder's trowel, hard hat, and a high-vis jacket.
Exactly. That's it. Why do they need to do these photo op? We all know it's Boris. Like when Boris or whoever it is, I'm not saying it's just Boris, whether it's Tony Blair, they all do it. Mm. They all have to go and have this photo op where they're doing some manual labour. They're in a factory and they always have to actually do a bit of it just to have a photo of them. Yes, I am like the common man.
I seem to remember there was some sort of picture somewhere of David Cameron trying to play snooker to make himself look like the everyday man.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you knew which end of the queue to use.
And was it Tony Blair heading a football with Kevin Keegan or something?
Oh, God.
Why do we have to do this? But anyway, what I do hope is that there's just one of Biden, hard hat, high vis, and just a massive sledgehammer at the wall, just knocking it down with a sort of finger up to Trump. That should be the first day of his presidency. That's what he should do.
If he doesn't do that, it's an opportunity missed.
And Trump's already said that he won't go to the... I mean, he's such a child, isn't he? He says, I won't go to the inauguration. I won't go.
Because privately, not on the podcast, but in text messages, you said to me, I guarantee he'll be the first president not to attend the next president's inauguration.
And he's now said he's not going to go because he said...
Well, you called that one.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to endorse a phony president or something along those lines of I've read.
His tactic at the moment is to go out in a cloud and completely try and delegitimize Biden's future presidency.
Yeah, the story he wants to be told in the future is that I won the election, it was stolen from me, Biden was not the real legitimate president of the United States. I think 75 million people would disagree.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Donald Trump, this is quite an amazing statistic. He did manage to get And he managed to lose the presidential election with more votes than Barack Obama won with.
I know. But doesn't that show the strength of feeling on both sides? You know, here's another thing I noticed just while we're talking about both sides. And I might be being massively unfair here, but let's just Trump bash as much as possible. It could be one of our last chances to do that. Although I've got a feeling he's going to be around in the public eye for some time yet. One thing I've noticed about the Trump supporters is that everything they do is done in a three-word chant. Have you noticed that?
Drain the swamp.
Drain the swamp. Build the wall. USA. USA. Four more years. Four more years. And then my favourites this weekend, or for the last few days, was count the votes. Count the votes. Followed by stop the count. Stop the count.
Thank you. So, Triv, this week I had quite an unusual series of events before me. I had a phone call out of the blue from my solicitor.
Look at you with a solicitor.
I know. Very posh. So I thought, oh God, this is going to be about, I've got to send him some paperwork, some legal jargon for all the hell we're going through at the moment with this bloody solicitor, who, by the way, I should say, is a lovely man. And I just hate having to deal with the adult work. I just it's just horrible. But he called me up and I answered the phone. I said, oh, hello. And he said, I just wondered, have you lost a wallet?
Ooh, okay.
And I thought, okay, I was in his office a couple of weeks ago back in Croydon. Maybe they've found a wallet lying around and they can't work out who it belongs to. So I went along with it. I said, no, I'm fine, thanks. And he said to me, you might want to check that again. I said, no, I'm quite sure I haven't lost my wallet.
Because you'd know after a couple of weeks, wouldn't you? You'd know if you'd lost your wallet.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. And then he said to me, Ben, you've lost your wallet.
Okay. It's like some sort of magic trick he's doing.
So I stood up from the sofa and I started checking my pockets. My wallet's gone.
How have you not noticed for 2 weeks? Mind you, you are one of the least observant people I've ever met.
So I said, yes, you seem to be right. I don't have my wallet. And I thought, I definitely had my wallet this morning. And he said, I've had a phone call from someone called Tom.
Right.
And he's phoned me up to say he's found your wallet. And I said, oh, well, that's lovely of Tom.
Yeah.
But why on earth did he phone my solicitor?
You must have had his card or something in your wallet, right?
Bingo. He found my wallet, which happened to have my solicitor's card in it. He phoned my solicitor to say, do you have a client who's lost a wallet? He then called me and performed what I thought initially was the greatest magic trick of all time. And then he gave me the phone number for this guy. So I called this guy up and I said to him, oh, hi, is this Tom? And he said, yes. I said, well, I'm Ben. I think you found my wallet. And he said, oh, yes, that's right. I'm just popping out at the moment. I can drop it back to you. Where do you live?
Well, you don't want to give someone your address, do you?
So I gave him my address.
Oh, you idiot. I mean, this man could have pickpocketed you for a start. And then you said, oh, yeah, he's probably got your keys as well.
And I said, he said, well, I'll be there at about 3:30. This was about 2:00.
Right.
And then I said, oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you very much. And then I get off the phone. And then immediately, what you've twigged immediately started running through my mind. Okay, now this man has my wallet and my address. Am I about to be the victim of identity theft?
Did he ask you your date of birth? Did you give him that?
And my mother's maiden name for some reason. But surely enough, I thought, well, if this guy is legit, and I tried to shake these ideas.
Well, can I just say though, Ben, it's a lovely thing that in this day and age, you have got the faith in humanity to trust somebody enough to give them your home address whilst they've got your wallet.
Well, I did that mainly out of naivety and stupidity. I think I said in last week's podcast, I am, you know, good potential to be easily scammed.
And you did say that last week. Yeah, was someone listening? One of our listeners is Tom.
So I calmed myself down. I went through a bit of a half an hour panic of thinking, oh my God, I just had my identity stolen.
Did you have a baseball bat ready for when he came round?
Well, not only this, but Mrs. Ben had lent me her debit card to go and buy something in the supermarket for her. So in my wallet, there was my debit card, her debit card.
Oh God.
The credit card, my driver's license. Basically everything that was important was in this wallet.
So you'd not noticed this. So there was quite a time gap from you losing it to you discovering it had been lost.
I didn't. Well, as is evident by the story, I didn't know it was lost until I got a phone call from my solicitor telling me I had indeed lost my wallet.
But how long had passed in time between you thinking you'd lost? What time did you think you'd lost it?
When he told me, I didn't think I had lost it when I was arguing with my solicitor. I thought,
but what I mean, at what time do you think you lost it?
Oh, I can answer that. I lost it at approximately, probably 1:30 p.m., about half an hour prior to the phone call.
Oh, half an hour. That's still enough time for someone to spend a fair amount of money from your card.
So then I thought, well, I need to give this guy some kind of reward if he's legit, because I thought, well, it's probably not going to be identity theft, because if he was really smart, my address, which he's asked me for, is on my driver's license, which is in the wallet.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So that's what calmed me down.
Well thought out.
So I then went to the supermarket and thought, well, I want to get this guy a reward to say thank you, but I haven't got any cash, and obviously my debit card is in my fucking wallet.
Yeah.
So then I've finally realised...
So you're shoplifted.
I finally realised I've got this Apple Pay thing on my phone, so I could go and do that.
But okay.
I then went to the supermarket, and I went to say to the woman at the counter, oh, can I get some cash back, please? And she said, oh, no, we've stopped doing cash back because of the coronavirus.
Oh, makes sense, yeah.
So I thought, oh, shit.
So were you gonna, was your idea to give a cash reward?
Yeah, I thought I thought he was being very sweet. He'd not only found my wallet, but he was going out of his way to bring it to my house. I thought, wow, that's so kind.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I didn't really know what was appropriate. I thought, you know, a tenner is quite a nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's about right.
Buy yourself a drink on me.
Yeah. So yeah. I got to the kiosk and explained to the woman, oh, yeah, the reason I wanted the cash back was I've lost my wallet and... You know, I wanted to give this guy a reward because he's found my wallet and he's going to bring it back to me. She said, no, we can't give you cash back, but there is an ATM outside. So I just gave her one of my withering stares for that. and then the penny dropped. And she said, oh, right, sorry. So I ended up going and buying a bottle of Prosecco with the pay by the phone thing.
Right.
And then at 3:30, he didn't show up.
He didn't show up?
No. And then I really start panicking.
Oh, God. Did you take Tom's number?
I did have... Well, I had a phone number.
Okay.
I didn't know if it was Tom's phone number. So I start panicking and Mrs. Ben's trying to calm me down. And eventually she says, no, give him a minute. It's 3:30, but I'm very much... If you say you're going to be somewhere at 3:30, you're there at 3:30.
How many minutes past 3:30 you started to get a bit antsy about that
one
thing? 1 minute, okay.
Finally, at 3:50, my phone rings and it's Tom and he's claiming to be at my address. So I go outside and there he is. He hands me my wallet.
Yeah.
I hand him a bottle of Prosecco, which I'd managed to pick up for him. And he said, oh, thank you. You didn't need to do that. I said, oh, trust me, mate. You didn't need to do this. That was so kind. And he said, you're quite lucky, really, because... There was about 4 young lads walking behind me who I'm sure would have found it and may not have been quite so helpful. Ooh. With finding it. Whew, so I said, thank you so much. I said, out of interest, where did you find it?
Yeah.
He said, oh, I found it on the pavement outside the petrol station on the way home. And I said, oh, I did walk home today, but I didn't walk by that petrol station.
That's weird.
So I really don't know what's gone on, but the cut and dry of this story is basically my faith in humanity has been restored by Tom. I don't know his surname. Tom of East Grinstead, you are possibly the nicest man alive. I owe you more than a bottle of Prosecco, so I will dedicate this podcast to Tom from East Grinstead.
Well, it's a very nice thing to do, isn't it? So was it everything in your wallet? Nothing had gone?
No, it was all there.
Because the only thing I'm thinking is someone picked it up where you initially dropped it, and they were hoping there might be cash in it. Because there's no point in nicking a card, is there? There's nothing you can do with a card, really. I suppose you can buy something under the value of 40 quid.
I think they've upped it to £45 due to the coronavirus. And right. I think you can use that 5 times per day. And as I've already said, there was my credit, my debit card,
yeah,
and Mrs. Ben's debit card. So that's 5 lots of 45. Let's call it 50. That's 250 quid, 500 quid over 2 cards. They could have done some damage with
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking if somebody picked it up, because if it's turned up somewhere where you haven't been, somebody has moved it. There's got to have been somebody who's picked it up thinking perhaps there's cash in it. They've walked along, no cash, I'll just throw it.
Okay, so you, after having my faith in humanity restored, you have now dashed it again. Thank you very much.
Well, no, I'm just saying that that's a possibility, isn't it?
Yes.
Can I just say also that you were taking a a slight, because I always think if you're going to offer a reward, that's a very kind of, because my instinct, it would be alcohol, some sort of alcohol.
Which is what I did.
But I mean, imagine if he was a recovering alcoholic or couldn't drink for religious purposes.
So you're now concerned that Tom might have been a recovering alcoholic who I've tipped over the edge.
Tipped him over the edge. he got absolutely shit-faced that night. He's now living his life in a gutter again. He just got his life back on track, Ben. You ruined it.
Oh, God. Sorry, Tom.
I once found a mobile phone in the street, right? Or down the little alleyway where I used to live. To walk home from the station, there was an alleyway. So I walked down the alleyway and there was a mobile phone on the floor. And I must admit, there's that thing that goes through your head. It's like, I can't leave it. That there's sort of something in my being that says you can't just leave it. But there's another side of me thinking, oh, if you pick it up, you've got to deal with it then. Do you know what I mean? It's, I've got to go through somehow sorting this out.
Now, I must say, I would normally agree with you. Like, if I pick this thing up, I've got a problem then. I've got a job in front of me. Fuck it. I'll leave it behind. But what I have now learned the hard way is you are so grateful and it means the world to you when someone does something so kind for you that I am genuinely going to pay it forward and I'm going to remember the next time I find someone's wallet, mobile phone, purse, whatever it is, I'm going to go out of my way because I know how much it means to people.
Well, that's good. That's a lovely thing.
I'll probably forget in a week.
So I picked this phone up, I took it back to my, and it was locked. So there's nothing I could do in terms of, you know, I couldn't get into it to think, oh, could I phone someone who's on this who might be able to then pass the message on to the owner? So then I thought, oh, do I just take it to the police station? I was just getting ready to take it to the police station and the phone rang.
I was going to say, that's all you can really do if it's locked. You can just wait for it to ring and answer it.
Yeah. So it rang and I answered it. And again, there's that weird thing going through your head. It's like the bloke says, oh, hello, I've lost this phone. So there's a part of me thinking, is he now thinking I've nicked it?
Well, okay, yes.
That's going through my head. But then why would I answer it if I have? So anyway, we arranged to meet. I didn't give him my home address.
Because you're not a moron, yes.
We arranged to meet near to where I'd found it. Not down the alleyway. I thought, I'm not meeting a stranger down the alleyway either. That's not a good idea.
No.
So we arranged to meet. And there's that weird. So on the other side of it, I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if he'll offer some sort of reward. You know, I'm not really after one, but it'd be interesting to see whether he gives me a fiver, says buy yourself a drink, or, you know, he's bought a four pack. You know, these sort of things were going through my mind. He did offer me a reward, but it was one I didn't want. He offered me a cigarette.
Is that it?
Yeah. He said, oh, thank you for giving that back. Would you like a cigarette? No, thanks. And I, if I'm honest with you, I walked away, not disappointed, but just if you're going to offer me something like that, it's a bit of a, again, it's a bit of an odd thing to offer, isn't it?
Well, I am a smoker, so I would have probably taken it.
Yeah.
But to be honest, that is a quite shit reward. That's like, oh, thank you so much for finding my phone and going out of your way. Do you want 10 minutes knocked off the end of your life?
I had this weird, other weird things that happen. You know when people stop you in the street for some money and they come out with some long-winded tale, you know.
Oh, I've been through it, yeah.
So, I'm very cynical of that now. And when I lived in my flat, I had a few, because I lived opposite a petrol garage, I had a few people, and I was very naive in my younger days, so I'd have a few people knock on my door and say, oh, look, mate, I'm filling up over the road. You know, I've got to get somewhere. It's an emergency. I haven't quite got enough. You know, any chance you could lend me a fiver? I'll bring it back. I'll pay you back. And I think twice I did it. I gave him a fiver.
Ever see them again?
No, of course not. And then I had this weird thing once where this guy knocked on my door and he said, oh, hello, mate, I'm a chef. I'm doing an event down the road.
Okay.
So I'm beginning to think, how are you going to get money into this conversation? You know, what, do you need money to buy some emergency icing? I mean, what's happening here? He says, oh,
can I have a guess?
Yeah, go on.
Knife sharpening.
No, it wasn't knife sharpening. Oh. What, do you think he was offering knife sharpening?
Or perhaps he needed funds to get his knife sharpened for his big event?
Oh, well, that would have been a story, wouldn't it? Now, what he needed was a tin opener.
Well, that's a dangerous one for a you know, a con, because most people will have a can opener in the house.
Well, this was the weird thing. So I gave him my tin opener, right?
Okay.
And he said, oh, I'll bring it back later. And again, like, this was in a... I'm fairly trusting of people. And then the day went on and on. And I'm thinking, well, that's that. I'm never seeing this tin open again. And then about, I don't know, 8 o'clock or whatever it was, the knock on the door, and there he was with the tin opener and a plate full of hors d'oeuvre and other snacks from the event. And I thought, well, isn't that a reward? So sometimes you can be very cynical in life, but occasionally you do get the little reward for your little act of kindness and just giving someone the tin opener. Basically, that was my dinner sorted for the lovely thing.
I mean, it's true. I initially thought this Tom guy was probably some sort of swindler who was out to, you know, steal my identity and my life. So I thought at one point he was a bastard. But then it paid off. And what did he get for his trouble? A lovely bottle of Prosecco.
Have you? We were talking about scams last week. My gran got scammed. And that is just, the anger that you feel when somebody has done that, you know, preying on someone who's older and slightly vulnerable. Oh,
I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast. I probably have. But I'll say it again, because I truly believe it. I really hope if hell exists, there is a special corner of it reserved for people who con the elderly.
Oh, man, it's awful, isn't it? And you know, when people talk about, you know, the good old days, when you hear of sort of people go, oh, we used to leave our doors open. I'm not sure I fully believe that, but you do think, you know, there was a time when people wouldn't have the distrust that you have to have now. I mean, just before we started recording today, there was a knock on my front door, right?
Yeah.
And I don't like people knocking on my front door. I'm not.
Or phoning your phone.
I don't. If I'm not expecting you to knock on my door, expect either that I'm not going to answer or expect a slightly frosty reception. So anyway, I'm just getting ready to record today. There was a knock on the door and I'm sort of half expecting a parcel. So I thought, oh, it might be that. So I open the door and there's a man standing at the end of the front path and...
Having a shit?
No.
Good.
He says, oh, we're just doing some work on Mrs. So-and-so's house just down the road. And we were wondering if you'd like your gutters cleared. And this is probably a very legitimate man just in the area doing a bit of work. But my instant reaction is, of course not, mate. Of course not. No, you've just knocked on my door. I'm not going to trust you because do you remember when I trusted that man to do my front garden?
Yeah.
And the last time he did it, he just left it half done and all the rubbish. You know, I've learned my lesson.
Well, that's quite a good one, actually, because I guarantee you, if he'd got up a ladder for 20 minutes, come back down and demanded 20 quid,
yeah,
you weren't going to go up your own ladder and check he'd done it, were you?
No, exactly.
It's the perfect con.
And also, when I started to think about the name he gave me of a neighbour, I was thinking, I know all the neighbours from here to the end of the road in the direction you're pointing. And I don't think any of them have that name.
Really?
So, you know, do you know what I mean? Anyone who knocks on the door, I'm just totally... Now, I got really annoyed last week. Some bloke knocked on my door. He was a salesman trying to see whether I wanted to boost my Wi-Fi in the house. And I just sort of think, I don't want you to knock on my door. Go away. So... What I'm saying is, you know, trust is something that has to be earned. And I think Tom has earned your trust.
Absolutely, he has. I think the take-home message is most people need to be told to fuck off, but some people are all right.
So, Ben, I want to share with you how I spent my Sunday afternoon this week.
Okay.
I was just looking through the news stories, just seeing what's happening other than COVID and the American election. And I came across a story that was just like one of those things that took me back to my childhood. You know, when something resonates and you're just suddenly transported back to your childhood.
Yeah.
So I saw a story that Rupert Bear, has turned 100 years old.
Christ.
I know. Now, I loved Rupert Bear as a kid, right? And I started reading about it that apparently, I must have known this because I wouldn't have been aware of it as a child, perhaps, because it was mentioned on one of the Rupert annuals that I had.
Now, I hate to interrupt you so early in your story, but one thing you're saying has annoyed me.
Already?
I've noticed twice now you've referred to him as Rupert Bear.
Rupert Bear. I'm not sure that that's his name. It's Rupert Bear.
I think Rupert the Bear.
Well, I don't know. I think you're wrong. The BBC headline says Rupert Bear turns 100. Well, so I think maybe you've got that wrong. That officially he is Rupert. I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
At Trevor Bed on Twitter. Let us know.
I'm going to look up the official Wikipedia entry.
Yes, I was going to say he'll have a Wikipedia page. We can put this to bed once and for all. I'm convinced, right. It's Rupert the Bear.
Let me read you the first entry on Wikipedia. Rupert Bear is a children's comic strip character.
That's very lazy writing. That would be like calling me Ben Human.
What? No, because
it would be.
What they're saying is that his name is Rupert Bear. He's not just Rupert the Bear. He is Rupert Bear,
implying his surname is Bear.
Yeah.
Which, for a fictional character, as I say, that would be like calling me Ben Person or Ben Human.
No, but what? No.
Yes, and it's exactly the same.
No, it's ridiculous. Bears famously, or a lot of bears, don't have a lot of bears. I mean, in nature, in real life, where I'm going here, is bears wouldn't have a surname. You know,
no, people and I have surnames. There are other examples, Yogi Bear, Paddington Bear.
There we go.
But Rupert has famously always been Rupert the Bear.
No, famously he hasn't been. Famously he's Rupert Bear.
I'm not having this.
It's one of the things that people probably always get wrong. You know, it's like when people say Cliff Richards. You know, it's one of those things everyone gets wrong. He's Rupert Bear.
Okay, on with the story.
So Rupert Bear started life in the Daily Express as a cartoon strip, right?
Okay.
And I was thinking, imagine if Rupert Bear was beginning life now in the Daily Express, he'd be some sort of alien conspiracy theory xenophobe, as opposed to the cuddly character we all know and love. So I went to my cupboard and I found my Rupert Bear books from when I was a kid.
Such a hoarder. Throw it away.
I couldn't get rid of them because I only about a few months ago, I was sorting through some of my books and I couldn't throw these out. It's like my Noddy books. I can't throw my Noddy books out. They mean too much to me.
Yes, but you assign that level of affection to all the old crap that you keep in the house.
No, I gave away some of my Edith Blyton books. There were some I couldn't. No, they're very... I mean, all right, I haven't looked at them in 40-odd years, but...
I tell you what, once this whole coronavirus thing is out the way and social distancing isn't a problem anymore, we're going to make a podcast of me coming round and going through your cupboards.
Well, I've got some great things in my cupboards.
All be ancient, non-essential crap.
I tell you what I've got in one of my cupboards, which I haven't actually got it out. Basically, I inherited this, right? And I've not got it out since I inherited it. It's been in a cupboard. It's a thing called a zoetrope. Do you know what a zoetrope is?
I have absolutely no idea. And I'm guessing most of the listeners won't know either.
So a zoetrope, and I remember it being shown to me when I was a kid. It was basically, it's like a drum with slits in it. And it's on a kind of stand and it spins, right? And in the drum, you put a strip of paper that's got drawings on. And as you spin it and you look through the slats in the drum, it creates a moving image. So I think it was also known as the Wheel of Life. And it was like a Victorian piece of entertainment. before radio, before television, it was like a thing that you had. And it was a way of seeing a little, almost like a little cartoon, I suppose, through the thing.
Right.
It's an incredible bit of kit. And I was thinking I might get it out for the family at Christmas.
Who did you inherit that from?
From my great-grandmother.
I was going to say, for it to be that old.
Yeah.
Now, as pointless as that item sounds practically in 2020.
Yeah.
I kind of support you hanging on to that because that could be something... No, hang on, hear me out. Because that could be something you could take to, like, the Antiques Roadshow and might be worth a few quid.
It might be, but, you know... But,
the moment they confirmed it was worthless, I'd chuck it in the bin.
Well, that says more about you than it says about the joy of... It's why you don't like the repair shop.
I still haven't watched it.
Well, so anyway, I got my Rupert books out.
Yes.
And I was going through them. I didn't have as many as I thought I remembered having. I've only got 8 of the books. There's Rupert and the Magic Toy Man. There's Rupert's Holiday Adventure. Rupert and the Magic Hat. Rupert and the Woods of Mystery.
Right.
So anyway, I was reading through some of my old Rupert books. Did you ever read any of Rupert Bear?
I think I might have had a video or two, a VHS.
Right.
For older listeners of Rupert the Bear. But I don't think I had any books.
I bet if your parents still have that VHS and they dug it out, it would say Rupert Bear.
Well, what's so annoying to me is that there was a song that went with Rupert the Bear. Do you not remember it?
Well, sing it to me. Let's
Well, this doesn't bode well for me because you've already read through the Wikipedia page, but the theme tune definitely went along the lines of, and I apologise to anyone who's now got to suffer through my singing voice, it went like, Rupert the Bear. That wouldn't scan at all without the word the, would it?
Well, no, that's probably why they did it, just for musical purposes. I've just looked that up. You're right. Rupert the Bear theme, it says.
Oh, we can't really play it for copyright reasons, I guess.
Well, you probably can, because this is where I'm going with this, actually.
Oh, good.
Is theme tunes. Because then I started reading the Rupert books.
This is where we're going with this. Court,
yes. So then I started going through in my mind. I started to reminisce and I started to have a sadness about... Do you ever do that? You look back and think, I'd love to go back and be a kid again and just have those... just carefree days of excitement when your TV program comes on. And then I spent all afternoon just going through listening to theme tunes of my favorite shows when I was a kid.
Oh, God, and you used to watch some weird stuff.
Well, the thing is...
I still haven't quite forgotten Manimal yet.
Well, Manimal. I was only talking about Manimal the other day to my
of course
brother.
You were.
And telling him how disappointing it was. but these were kids' programs, and some of these you'll remember because they would have still been going when you were a kid. There's 10 or 11 years difference between us.
Okay.
So do you remember... obviously, you remember Rainbow, right?
Of course.
Rainbow. Up above the streets and houses, rainbow climbing high. Rainbow. Everyone can see it smiling over the sky.
Paint the whole world with a rainbow.
I think it's hard to beat that one.
Yeah. So you remember that? Was Rod, Jane and Freddie... a rainbow in your era?
I don't think they were. I remember Bungle, Jeffrey, George and...
Zippy.
Oh, how could I forget Zippy?
I know he was like the main protagonist, Zippy.
He's my favourite as well.
Well, because he was a pain in the arse, wasn't he? Now, what about... I'm just thinking of others that you might remember. Button Moon. Do you remember Button Moon? Was that around?
Button Moon, we're off to Mr. Spoon.
Yeah.
Button Moon. Yeah, something like that, wasn't it?
A little bit like that.
That's twice I've sang on this podcast.
See how close you were with the lyrics.
Off to Button Moon.
About Button Moon is how shit it was.
I think, and I don't, this may piss off a lot of people, what I'm about to say. I honestly think if you told someone who'd never seen Button Moon that there was a never before discovered John Lennon track, you could pass that off as it.
Yeah, oh, definitely, I mean, that could definitely have been on Yellow Submarine or something. But I mean, it was just a wash it up liquid bottle.
It was.
With some spoons tied to it.
I think I got the word slightly arse about face, but I think I remembered the spirit of it. So
yeah, you did. You weren't too far off. What about Poddington peas? Do you remember the Poddington peas?
Down at the bottom of the garden with all the birds and the bees.
She do know it.
Live a bunch of special people called the Poddington peas.
Special people?
I may have got that wrong again.
they're little people.
Live a bunch of little people.
The little people. Down at the bottom of the garden, among the birds and the bees. It's quite poppy, this.
Yeah. I live a lot of little people. They call the Poddington peas. They're squeaky black and me and dark. Oh, lovely, this is a trip down memory lane.
I know, I thought it might be. I thought some of these might not have been your era, but I'm glad that they went through.
Oh, you'd be surprised some of the crap I could remember.
Okay, what about Jamie and the Magic Torch?
Heard of it. Couldn't honestly tell you I remember the theme tune.
Oh, this goes a bit rocky, this, because I think this was more from the 70s. Jamie the Magic Torch. There's quite a long piano introduction before it gets going, but I'm going to play you from where the theme tune really kicks in. Oh, listen to that. It's a bit sort of, it's almost a bit glam rock, isn't it?
It's great. Jamie, Jamie, Jamie and the Magic Torch. Down the hill and scaled it faster and faster to its cuckoo lamb.
Wordsworth's a dog, by the way. Following hard behind. Ready for revenge, you always
sit in the pool. No, I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh. You got to go on YouTube and watch some Jamie and the Magic Torch.
I might give it a go.
I've got a couple more that you might remember. James the Cat. Did you ever have James the Cat?
No, I haven't even heard of that one. Felix the Cat, I had.
Oh, it was, yeah, well, I do remember Felix the Cat, I think. But James the Cat, who was basically an overweight Felix.
Right.
And he used to be famous, James the Cat. I think that was the premise of the show, really, that he used to be a bit of a star.
Oh, but now he's lost his fame and he's...
Well, he's not lost it. He's just living out, he's sort of his retirement, really, in a garden. He's just chilling out. The theme tune tells his story, okay?
Okay. My name's
James. James the Cat. He's had money and fame.
I've had fame, money, and all that.
Now he's just chilling out.
Now he's just showing off.
I'm here, growing fat, chasing birds and butterflies. James the Cat.
James the Cat.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of an arrogant prick, to be honest.
Oh, you're not. Oh, James the Cat. And I'm going to finish with possibly my favorite. I mean, there's loads of others I could have played. I was thinking of King Rollo. I don't know if that was a sung theme, but there was King Rollo. Do you remember that?
No, never heard of that one.
King Rollo was always great because we didn't have, like, not like, same in your era. You're too old to know 24-hour kids TV, aren't you?
Yes.
So, you know, we didn't have that. So we used to get lunchtime. There'd be sort of half an hour or whatever it was of kids shows, right? And on Thursday, you'd get two because they were two shorter things. So the other days, you might get Chock-a-Block. Do you remember Chock-a-Block?
Oh, no.
Chock-a-Block. Wasn't much of a theme tune, but that's how it went.
Can I ask what was it about? Because I don't know the TV show, but Chock-a-Block is definitely a word I have learned through my mum.
Right.
And what my understanding of the word means is to be... like, if you say the supermarket was rammed, really, really busy, couldn't move in there, it was chock-a-block.
Oh, chock-a-block, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Chock-a-block was like, there were two presenters. Sometimes it would be chock-a-girl, and sometimes it would be, I guess, chock-a-guy. I can't quite remember.
Sure. Well, they've missed a trick there. Surely chock-a-bloke.
Oh, it might have been, oh, no, I don't know. It might not have been bloke. I can't remember. But anyway, they'd come in a little cart and they'd sit by like some massive computer and then they'd play your videos, sort of slightly educational videos and that sort of thing. But I used to love Chock-a-Block, so that was on. But Thursdays, you'd get King Rollo, which was a short animation about this slightly mental king, right? And then you'd get Bric-a-Brac.
Heard of Bric-a-Brac.
With Brian Cant.
Got to be careful how you say that.
Who, of course, was a legend. Yeah, Brian Cant. I mean, he was all the voices of Trumpton and Campbellwick Green, Play School, of course. Let's Pretend. Do you remember Let's Pretend?
No, that's passing me by. But the name Brian Cant does ring a bell.
Yeah, he would have still been doing stuff. He's a legend, absolute legend, Brian Cant. But Bric-a-Brac, he played this old guy who, I mean, it would be my element. He basically worked in a Bric-a-Brac shop. And he'd basically rifle through the shelves and find little objects and probably tell you about them, that sort of thing.
Just Googling Brian Cant, and yeah. Google Images brings up a picture of him with a co-host.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is from Bric-a-Brac. And he seems to be holding a fairly racist-looking black-faced toy.
Oh, no, that'll be from Play School. That'll be Play School.
Play School.
Is it... Okay. What sort of toy is it? Is it... Because I'm just going.
It looks like a bit like a sort of giant Easter egg.
Yeah, no, that was Humpty. That was Humpty.
That was Humpty.
Yeah, that's Humpty. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, nothing
racist anyway? Or
no, I don't think so. No,
okay.
Because there were several dolls on Play School. There was Humpty, Jemima. Who were the others? I think they might have had, and not in a racist way, but in a diverse way. They might have had a black doll. I think they did. There was little Ted and Big Ted, of course.
Perhaps it was perfectly innocent. There's just something about my perhaps slightly too woke 2020 self that just gets a slight whiff of racism.
Humpty was green anyway.
Not in this picture, is
it? No, I think I'm looking at the... Is the woman standing next to him in the picture holding a doll with like very red cheeks?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just the lighting in that picture. But Humpty was green. That's a green toy.
Okay, well, as you could attest, it does not look green.
No, it doesn't look that green.
Anyway, sorry, I feel like I've derailed you. You're trying to tell me about this great man, and I'm accusing him of being a racist.
Yeah, no, he was great. I mean, I once worked with, I won't say any names, I once worked with a radio presenter who, back in the day, had been, I don't know if he presented, but he worked on Play School in New Zealand. And he told me a story that they'd all got stoned behind the scenes and were playing football with New Zealand Humpty. I don't know how true that was, but there we are. Anyway, there were some great TV shows, but I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway.
No, it's my fault. I keep derailing things today.
I was going to play one of my favourite theme tunes. From my childhood, Muppet Babies.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to derail it again. On the same subject, Muppets Tonight. I love the theme tune to that.
What, the main Muppet Show one, or was there a different Muppets Tonight?
Do you not remember Muppets Tonight?
How did Muppets Tonight go?
Oh, I'm not going to sing for a third time.
Well, no, you're going to have to. Or can you bring the theme tune? Perhaps next week you can bring some of your own theme tunes from your childhood. Because what was around?
Yeah, let's do it.
Obviously, we've covered shows that I watch, but... And some of these crossed over, but there must have been shows that you watched that I would never have heard of.
Yeah, and you're sure we're okay with copyright laws on this?
Well, I think we're gonna risk it.
Okay, next week I'll bring some of mine.
Basically, if this podcast has disappeared, it means we were asked to take it down because we breached copyright law. But I'm going to risk it. Muppet Babies. Oh, I loved Muppet Babies. It was on a Saturday morning. And the theme tune is just, I mean, I won't sing every word, but I could if I needed to. There's the great bit in the middle where the nanny comes in. And that's just I love that bit. You ready?
Go for it.
Now they all say their little bit.
When you grew up's kind of weird and you wish that you weren't there.
Just close your eyes and make believe, and you can be anywhere.
I like adventure.
I like romance.
I love great jokes.
Animal dance.
I've got my computer.
Play the piano.
Here's Nanny.
Is everything all right in here?
Yes, Nanny.
Very 50s doo-wop.
I was going to say very Grease, I thought.
Yes.
Muppet Babies, a wop bubble oop bop wop bamboo.
It's incredible. Now, Ben, do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about chicken in a can?
Yeah. Was it a whole chicken in a can?
Yeah, a whole chicken. God, a roast chicken disgusting. In a can, right?
Yes, I do remember.
Now, hello to Steve, one of our listeners. This week, Steve has sent me a list. He said, you might not like the idea of chicken in a can, but have you seen these other foods also available in cans? So he sent me this list of other foods that you can buy in cans. And these are incredible, right? So one of the first ones, which funny enough, months and months ago, our old mate Jace, who is in the States celebrating Biden's win.
Congratulations, right? Jace.
He suggested ages ago when we did some food tasting, I think it was when I made you have Marmite, it might have been then, that we should try this thing called surströmming.
Right.
Which is a tinned fish, but it's sort of... It's basically fish that's gone off. It's like herring that's been...
Like fermented?
Yeah, fermented herring.
Ugh.
I did look it up when Jay suggested this a while back, because I did think if I could make you taste it, that would be incredible.
Thanks.
But it's really expensive. It's almost like 30 quid a can. So, wow. I didn't buy one because that's literally just opening it. We'd want to be sick. I
mean, yes, this podcast is very much expense spared.
Yeah. Right, here's some other things. Scorpion. You can get scorpions in a can.
Nope, not doing it.
This is in Thailand, apparently. It's a common food and it's all in a tin. You just open it up. But I suppose you fry them up, do you? A scorpion?
I have no idea. I you know, a few weeks ago, I recommended a YouTube channel I'd found, Beard Meets Food.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With a guy who can eat colossal amounts of food. I came across one of his videos. I think it was trending because of the time of the month. It was near 31st of October. And I discovered one of his videos from a few years back, which was a Halloween video. And his girlfriend had, or fiance, I should say, had bought him a mystery challenge to eat. It was a tarantula.
Oh.
In a can.
Oh, in a can.
In a can. Oh. And
so what was it in? Some sort of juice?
There was some sort of liquid in it. I really can't even talk about it for too long. It's the only one of his videos. I think this guy is great. He's really entertaining, but it's the only one of his videos I've had to switch off. The moment he plopped this tarantula out, I just thought, fuck this, I'm out.
All right, I know you don't want to talk about it too much, but there's a couple of things I just need to know. Was it still hairy? Or was it not of that type? Because when you say tarantula, I think of like the hairy thing.
God, oh, I'm not joking. I just had to repress vomit. No, it didn't look hairy.
Right, okay. Have you ever held a tarantula?
No. Why would anyone do that?
I did, right? It's on my fridge. I've got a picture. When I was in the States, I've got a picture of me in the States when I went to some place where they had alligators and crocodiles and that sort of thing. And there's a picture of me holding a baby crocodile. That was the picture they took that you could buy on a fridge magnet, right? But I wish they'd taken the one of me holding a tarantula, because I actually did it. I actually held a tarantula very briefly, just put my hand out and he popped it on my hand. And I almost forgotten I did it. It was only fairly recently that memory came back that, yes, I did hold a tarantula. And that's something that I'd much rather have on a magnet to say, look at this. Look, I did that. But I don't think they should be in cans. I don't think they should be sold in cans.
No, well, I should stress, if it wasn't obvious already, it was very dead.
Yeah, of course it was dead. Is there any animal other than the traditional types that you would eat that you would try? Because, you know, you can buy things like ants in chocolate, that sort of thing.
No, why? Why ruin perfectly good chocolate? Why would you do that?
Well, I'm just wondering whether you would try anything like that. Have you ever eaten anything like snails?
No, wouldn't do that either.
I've eaten a couple of snails.
So you've had escargot?
Yeah, I was in Malta, funny enough, and we went to this restaurant, and it was like they brought them to, I don't know whether they just thought, oh, here's some tourists, this will be funny, because they didn't charge us for them. They just brought a bowl of snails to the table, like a sort of, you know, entree type thing. And I thought, well, I better try a couple just while I'm here. There was no real taste. No wonder they cover them in all fucking garlic butter.
Well, I was going to say, they're not a delicacy. If it's something's a delicacy, you don't need to drench it in garlic butter.
No. And you can buy things. I'm sure when I was in Thailand, near my hotel, there was outside at night, there was loads of food stores. And I'm sure once they were like, there was one store frying up locusts and things like that. And I didn't go anywhere near it. And now I might be tempted just to try one.
Don't come anywhere near me if you do.
What do you mean? I wouldn't have it on me. Like, just because I've tasted something, why can't I come near you?
If I was supposed to kiss you.
Because I've got a bit of a leg still sticking in my teeth.
I don't really want to be anywhere near anyone.
Like a locust feeler got caught in my teeth.
Oh, Trev, Stone, I'm going to be sick. I was going to say, the only thing I think I might be tempted to try,
yeah,
and I'm sorry if this upsets anybody, would be horse.
See, that has upset me.
Well, that's only because, to me, like, spiders, insects, ants, why the fuck would anyone do that? But for me, a horse, if you're going to say, well, we'll eat lamb, we'll eat cow, we'll eat chicken, but horse, is it that much of a stretch? I'm not saying I'm going to go out tonight and seek it out, but if someone said, would you try a mouthful of this, it happens to be horse, I'd be far less repulsed by that than I would be with a fucking tarantula on a fork.
Oh, you see, I had quite a big row with my mates when we were in Malta, because there was a bar that was open later than all the other bars. Right. And the first few nights of the holiday, we'd finish in one of the bars and they'd say, oh, Trev, let's go into that one. It's still open. And outside there was a menu, because it was sort of restaurant come bar sort of thing.
Right.
And on the menu was horse meat. And I refused to go in on the basis that they served horse meat. And we ended up having quite a massive row that night, because they were saying, well, come on. Basically, the argument you just made, you're quite happily sit there and eat a cow, a pig, a sheep. You know, what's the difference? And I went, it's like I won't eat venison. I won't eat rabbit. You know, they're just, it's a psychological thing, I think.
So I don't understand why you're happy to eat all this horrible stuff.
Well, they're more, you know, when you look to the future, like insects, possibly certain insects and grubs will become, it's a much more sustainable meat farming method. And you know, probably not in our lifetimes, but that might be the food of the future, Ben.
Well, not exactly, because I dare say if you're the type of person who's willing to eat a tarantula, then one won't exactly cut it. You're not going to have that as your dinner, are you? Whereas a horse would feed many.
Yeah, I've tried a bit of ostrich.
Now, I can't claim that's weird, because how is that different other than just like a massively big chicken? I mean, that's the same to me. That's understandable.
I've also tried a little bit of alligator jerky.
That's a bit weird, I'll be honest. It's unnecessary. We've got farmed meats now.
Yeah.
You don't need to be killing alligators.
Well, this was in Florida. You know, they've got a lot of alligators.
I realise that both of our logic is completely,
completely
all
flawed.
Over the place. Yeah. Completely.
Yeah. So anyway, what else can you get in a can? Rattlesnake in a can. Apparently snakes very much like chicken when you
try.
Hell
of a can.
Yeah. I hope it rattles. What about, just while we're on the subject, this has just popped into mind, someone I know, someone we both know, in fact, again, I won't say any names on the podcast, but someone we both had work with in the past.
I think I know who this is.
They put on Facebook the other day that they were trying frog's legs for the first time.
Now, am I right in thinking this is the same person who would think nothing of sitting down in a crowded office space at his desk and open up a tin of mackerel?
No, it's
no,
not
oh,
that.
I'm
it's
wrong.
It's not that person. No.
Oh,
no.
Right. Okay.
So would you try frog's legs? Because apparently they're like chicken, but I don't think I could. Just the look of them.
Well, you've completely defeated the point now, because if it's like chicken, you know what else is like chicken?
Yeah.
Chicken.
Human.
No, chicken is like chicken. Why did you say human? What's wrong with you? Good God.
Well, they don't. They say that most meat's like, I think humans probably more red meat, isn't it? I don't know. I don't know.
I've got to keep an eye on you.
Right. This is a drink that's available in a can. Bird's nest drink. It's a concoction made with a bird's nest. It's like a soup. I suppose, like, you get bird's nest soup, don't you? It's like that in a can.
I don't even want to know what's in that.
This is silkworm pupae.
No.
I mean, that's in some sort of juice. That looks pretty horrible. Canned armadillo is available in Mexico.
I'm not really familiar with what an armadillo really is, so I can't object too strongly.
I don't know what an armadillo is. It's like a...
I know it's a big shelled type truncated thing, but...
Truncated?
Hasn't it got a bit of a long nose to it, the armadillo?
No, not really, no.
No?
No.
A bit like an anteater?
No.
Okay. I don't see the need to have that. We've got enough stuff.
Snails, you can get them in a can. I think this is the worst one, right? We can have some fun with the others, but this is going to upset you as much as it upset me. Right. Dog.
No. No.
If you're happy to eat horse, mate.
Like I say, I'm aware that my logic is questionable and inconsistent, but there is no way anyone should be eating a dog.
No, leave dogs alone. Don't
leave eat. Dogs alone.
I'll just have the canned silkworm pupae, please. So there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. So we're about a week into the second lockdown now. So how's it all going?
Yeah, I can't really say I've been too affected by it. I'm still doing my key worker job, so going to the supermarket, you know, every so often. So life is pretty much the same for me. You?
Yeah. It's not too bad, really. Sort of so used to it now. But I must admit, it's just that thing of not being able to go out and meet people. But, you know, we'll get through it together. And of course, as it's lockdown, it's a time for watching stuff when you can't go out in the evenings, even if you're working from home during the day. I've been watching quite a lot of good stuff this week, Ben. This amazing series, which I didn't know they were doing a second series of. It was on a few years ago, the first series. It's on BBC Two. It's actually on quite early on a Saturday morning, and it's called Inventing the Impossible, The Big Life Fix. Right. And it's this group of incredible kind of engineers, inventors, just these incredible people who help people who have all kinds of issues come up with solutions. So, for example, there was a guy who used to be an avid snowboarder, and he'd basically got caught in an avalanche and was lucky to survive and really struggles to walk or anything now, but he was desperate to get back out on the slopes. So it was, how could they invent a snowboard that he could use and control? And they managed to make one. It was incredible. And then this week there was a fairly young man who had cerebral palsy, could only control a kind of speech board with his eyes, but he loved sailing. And it was, how could he control the boat with just his eyes? So they basically built all this software. They built kind of an iPad type thing that they could put on the boat, and he could control it with his eyes and steer the boat.
Sounds incredible.
Just the most incredible thing. These guys are incredibly, like, their intelligence just blows me away. The fact they can see these problems and find a solution, it is incredible. So it's just one of those great things to watch. The other thing I watched was a documentary called Bobby. It's a few years old. I think it was made in 2016, but it's about Bobby Moore. So it must have been made for the 50th anniversary of England winning the World Cup. But that's
right.
Just an incredible documentary. I knew a lot about his life, but there were still some bits I didn't know. And if you're into your football and you want to watch something about possibly the greatest captain England's ever had, that's well worth a watch. And finally, I watched the film Parasite.
Oh, that won all sorts of awards, didn't it?
Yeah, it's on, I think it's available on Amazon Prime as well. It won the Oscar for best movie, I think.
And now, am I right in thinking that this is a film that you can't really say too much about because it gives it away?
Yes. I didn't really know what it was about. I tell you what I was thinking. I thought it was almost like a horror film. I thought it was about a parasite that gets into your body and yeah, almost like a zombie type thing. That's what I was expecting.
Meant to be more of a love story, isn't it? Or is that wrong as well?
Yeah, it's not really a love story. I mean, there is a sort of love element in it. As you say, it's just no wonder it won an Oscar. I mean, it was just superb. I'm not going to give too much away, but once you've seen it, it stays with you for a little bit. It's like, wow, you know, there's a lot to work through once you've watched it.
Oh wow, it sounds very intriguing.
I highly, highly recommend it if you've not seen it. It's quite a long film. It's about just over 2 hours, and it's subtitled because it's in South Korean, but. My word, it's well worth a watch.
I'll give that a go. One thing I'd recommend giving a look, if you've looked at the Beard Meets Food channel that I mentioned earlier on in this podcast and recommended a week or two ago, one of his big inspirations was a guy called Matt Stoney, which is spelled S-T-O-N-I-E. And he's a speed eater and a food beast. And he's well worth, he doesn't need my endorsement, by the way, he's got like 12 million plus YouTube subscribers, he's fine, but I saw some of his videos, he is incredible. I think I saw him last night eat a Big Mac, large fries, a large Diet Coke and a thing of barbecue sauce in about 45 seconds.
What?
Just incredible. I realise that some people will be a little bit grossed out by seeing people shoving food into their faces, but I find it fascinating. What's, so Matt Stoney on YouTube, well worth a watch.
What are they, like, what's, I don't really get it. I don't really understand speed. So just, they just shovel it in.
Honestly, it has to be seen to be believed.
You can't chew it. There can be no chewing going on.
I also saw him eating a 20-inch, 6-pound pizza, and I think he finished that in just over 5 minutes flat.
Wow, mind you, I've got a mate that can do that. I mean, honestly, I know someone who, you order a pizza, by the time you've had your first slice, you look over, he's just gone. It's incredible. All right, well, I would say I'd watch it, but it sounds absolutely disgusting.
I'm going to go. Try it before you hate it.
Okay. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime on Twitter about anything you want us to watch, talk about, any theme tunes, any kids shows that you remember that you want us to reminisce about. Let us know. We're at Trev and Ben, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Bye.